Hi, Condor. Routing you to New York Center.
Condor 1-1, Mr. Higgins.
Hello, Condor.
Who is this?
Deputy Director Higgins, New York Center. I'm controlling now, Condor. Where are you?
In the basement. And he had been drinking, and it has come out. But it was all covered up. In fact, it wasn't even reported to the police till the next day. The guy almost died. Oh, it was just an accident. They were out hunting together, and Dick Cheney just shot him in the face.
How come I need a code name and you don't?
Hey, man. Gee, what happened to Fate? Yeah, it's really a drag. Yeah, what a bring down. So where do you want to go? Yeah. Rosie's? That's cool. Out of sight, man. We'll dig it.
Around July 4th or 5th.
They are themselves Manchurian candidates.
A prediction they made that the world would experience a
I believe that most politicians do.
That would literally change how we live our lives.
That's why they don't care
forever.
What the public has to say.
And that tipping point they're would programmed happen by in the next 45 to 60 days from when I made the posting. And this big event would have aspects of military and accident. They also provided some mapping coordinates that showed a sort of a cloud.
Where are you, Terry?
Here.
You all right?
Are you insane? Everybody's dead.
They are in a state of constant frustration because those who contribute most heavily and therefore are most interested in the church tend to be conservative-minded people, and they want that old-time religion.
All right.
Are you insane?
Although, as a matter of fact, what they call the old-time religion is really quite modern.
Dead.
We don't deny what our love means now. So I know.
Sure. Right the gate.
Officer!
You like these animal programs?
And another man, a Kennedy campaign manager, and possibly shot in the head. I am right here. Raper Johnson has a hold of a man who apparently has fired the shot. He has fired the shot. He still has the gun. The gun is pointed at me at this moment. I hope they can get the gun out of his hand. Be very careful. Get the gun. Get the gun. Get the gun. Stay away from the gun. Stay away from the gun. His hand is frozen. Get his thumb. Get his thumb. Get his thumb. Take a hold of his thumb and break it if you have to.
Everybody's dead.
Take it easy. Just take it easy and we'll bring you home.
Tonight, we turn back the clock. Back before there was a planet Earth.
So we'll do it. You know the Ansonia Hotel?
Broadway and 71st.
Broadway 73rd. There's an alley behind the hotel.
Hello, my name's Elder Freeburg. My name's also Elder Freeburg. We're from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints just down the road.
Okay.
How are you doing this morning?
Good.
We were wondering if we could come in and tell you a little bit about our church, give you information on our religion. This is a nice house.
Thanks. You want a drink?
No, thank you.
Don't you, the blood of Christ thing?
No, we use water instead of wine.
Water for the blood of Christ?
Yes. The alcohol in the wine is, we believe, is bad for our body, so we don't drink anything that's bad for our body.
Have you guys ever had anything really freaky happen to you when you go to these houses?
Not really.
Not normally.
And you're here to convert us?
No, we're just here to give you background information on our religion in hopes that you come to one of our services. Do you know anything about our religion?
No.
No? Right, I'll give you some background information. How it started is a young boy, at the age of 14, wanted to know which church to join because he noticed there were so many. So he knelt down and he prayed, and he said, "As I prayed, a pillar of light descended upon me, and when that pillar reached me, I saw two figures directly above me. The figure on the right said, 'This is my son Jesus Christ, hear him.' God sent Jesus to the earth to be the most pure being to ever walk the earth, and he was sent to be sacrificed so that we didn't have to sacrifice lambs to be forgiven. Now all we have to do is ask with a sincere heart to be forgiven."
Back then you couldn't talk to God unless you were pure. So by killing something pure, by sacrificing something that was innocent, you became innocent yourself.
Now can you talk to God now?
Yes, when we pray. We've got to go.
You got to go?
We have to go. We have a lot of area to cover today.
You want them to stay, right, guys?
Is there a time we can come back?
Other places, Las Vegas, Nevada, and curiously, as events turned out later,
Earth, before there were even any stars, back towards the Big Bang.
New metaphysics Mary Geiserman congenial. Talking to you tonight. Important announcement. After this break. Insert sort of Longinus here. Metaphysics. Back with you now, Gary Geiserman, manning the greased pole with a certain signal sensors on it. Another thread along the clothway here in the VR Rolodome. Important announcement.
To draw attention to the fact that a medium is not something neutral. It does something to people. It takes hold of them, it roughs them up, it massages them, it bumps them around.
Well, hold scene one, take one.
So I just got to watch television.
You are about to know the thrill of seeing that which has never been seen before.
Those particular lifetimes that are most significant. To travel down, as we've talked in other workshops, the river of time and space, to let yourself decide, I'm now going to get in touch with lifetimes that show me the lost power. But I lay in the river and I float down it, whether I've ever floated in my life or not, I can float down this river.
Broadcast right from the Adobe booth at that trade show, so he will be joining us later. And we all, as we always do, we have a prize giveaway a little bit later, right?
We have a
but still that's what they want, and there are people who, as I would say, would tend to be conservative in their whole attitude to life. Because you see, people of a more liberal disposition couldn't care less about going to church.
We know that that's about the time frame when the Al-Qaeda operatives were having their last party hurrah, the face of a slice of bread through a loaf of bread. almost a perfect fit, contain hints about dates, but it isn't precise science in terms of saying tonight and happening maybe an hour or two from now. So
issues that you're going to talk about tonight, I think that's going to be...
We're at about 17% of full moon, and we are in the waxing period. Short supply. You're right, the linguistics have talked about perhaps a dash of scripting language to read the text, and it was a huge hit for U.S. businesses that rely on those petroleum supplies. 7274 out in Catalina or along San Andreas.
In the very beginning of time.
The human race, from its earliest history, has been fascinated with the story of creation. I don't think it's any accident that the Bible starts with the story of creation. People want to know how, where they came from, where the world around them came from. And cosmology has been making, I think, very extraordinary progress.
The following takes place between 1 p.m. and 2 p.m.
Here again, for those that don't recall, is that to tap into a past life experience, floating down the river of time and space, you must float through the day, through the night, and at least until the dawn of the second day.
Announcement. Gotta be somewhere. Oh, you are listeners to New Metaphysics. Approximately 6 more years of the last road to Pottsville. Bumpy goes the night. Anything bad that could happen probably will happen and be averted. You know, the variables, the multiples, the alternates, parallels, footnotes, subplots, bifurcating, you know, quarter tones, you know, life today. You're doing it. You know what I'm talking about. To quote Wall Street, Charlie Sheen, everybody's doing it now. I think I got that pretty good. And they are doing that now as well. New Metaphysics program with New Metaphysics listeners attached. Going for the whole dinner here. Rolls, Roquefort dressing, and all the cancer trimmings. Heart attack on the side. Momentous. So the word from the metaphysical street, big Wall Street dive in progress. Now this can be averted, but we're dealing with the near future, and since the book ran out already, the last reel already has been spinning in place off the tape head, and you know what the sound of tape not going by the head sounds like. You are New Metaphysics listeners. God bless you. Some think that this is the age of decadence. Domination reality in the end game. This version of it, 90,000 years running, longest serial in this side of the Great Divide on the quarter deck, which mainly means I don't remember, but it's a damn long time. And civilizations come and gone, and all that's left, anomalous archaeology. In fact, some of them, it's not even that. Lemuria, conceptually beyond recall, unless you're going to go paraconceptual on it, catch it when it's not looking. Do that old levitation thing. No password required. Asteroids hitting the earth. Tsunamis. Al Goreville. Eight years of the oil cartel, and ticker's still running. It's kind of like running with scissors in a hot sauna after a big goose duck, beef gravy with fortified with pork fat, after blaspheming your wife and kids, and not getting a heart attack. So we are running with scissors here. It's just a concept. Don't get too heavy with it. I counseled you before on this. Concept takes a whole package of stuff, packs it up in a little portable, and you strap it back on your back. Continue on your way. Pull the ripcord whenever you want. Because I don't know why you'd want to do that. I think you'd want to collect them. Be a completist of some kind. Or at least a semi-hobbyist passing through. Just listing the concepts here. They're being counted up and logged automatically. It's not even a default. Just the way it is. Paper you signed a long time ago. Comes some bad music.
Putting it on.
Just let it pass. Just a concept. Let it go away. Let it pass.
Hi, this is Kim. I can't get your call right now, but if you leave me a message, I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thanks.
When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. I'm sorry, but I didn't hear anything. At the tone.
That's about the time frame.
Put that technology in the hands of a person with hands, and you got a trouble in River City. So it's the age of masculine takes all.
It's kind of like deadlines. They just don't interfere with the activities and the work patterns of the other people.
And it's kind of like the disgruntled husband kills wife and children and pet. SWAT team out there for like 14 hours. Second or third round of pizzas. That high sodium count. Body temperature rising. And then he blows his brains out all over that rented sofa. An easy chair. Except play it backwards, though. They always get it backwards in the movies. So the head of state has assassinated himself. That happened so long ago, I can't even forget I ever knew it happened. Of course, I don't have to. It's part of the default program.
Actually, the well-organized individual complements the efforts of other persons and ensures there is always a smooth, non-crisis workflow.
After the hero is all dead, his ghost persecutes the other half of River City. Biggest rampage of serial killing ever recorded. I believe that would constitute our history. All written down. And then he relives his assassination over and over again. Heart attack after cancer.
Organizational abilities are a cornerstone to business success.
I have just fired Phil Henry, so I will be helping out with the remainder of this program with associate producer and intern Bud Dickman. Bud, how you doing? Buddy, there?
I'm right here.
Turn the microphone on.
I'm right. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes. You know where the microphone is, right?
Yeah, I know where it is. I've been on the radio before.
Jesus. Well, look, Bud, I'm giving you the big shot here because Henry blew it with all those phony baloney voices, okay?
I understand. I've always told him that he should be more realistic.
Right. Now, what we'll do, Bud, is we'll debate an issue.
I'm right here, Mr. Hall.
I know you're right there. We're going to debate an issue, okay?
What do you mean?
I'm going to talk. I'm going to take one side and you take another.
Where do you want me to go?
Listen, stupid, just be, have an opinion about something. It's like talking to Henry.
The world of 1960.
This letter, and they cost me 10 shillings. The Paston Letters, 1465.
You've got no clue. The editor of the text had thrown up his hands and said he didn't know what it was.
You like these animal programs?
I do.
Sit. It's life like we can only imagine it. Planetary life.
Planetary.
It's better if you have no idea how they make them.
Why? Do they hurt the animals?
No, but it's all put together. See the lion? Right? He's looking at the zebras. The zebras were photographed in another country the year before.
How do you know that?
Hey! All right. Now, first thing we're going to talk about is the Saudi Arabians. They got TV commercials. Have you seen them?
No, I haven't. Are we debating now, or...
No, we're not debating. You ain't seen them. Hold on.
That's how they work. They put the pieces together to tell a story. Or they put an animal in the way of another so they can film the action.
All right. Hey, Bud.
Yeah?
What do you think about the new Spider-Man movie?
I don't know. I'm not.
You haven't seen it?
No.
I hate to go to museums and see pictures on the wall because they look so important and they don't really mean anything.
Mr. Hall?
What?
I have an opinion about a thing we can talk about.
Okay, what?
I don't like to wear briefs because my ball sack gets...
Never mind about that, will you? What is that? We're going to have a debate?
Do you... What about your ball sack that...
Never mind about it! What do you think about Robert Blake?
I've never met him.
You don't have to meet him. He's the guy that got arrested.
That's the guy that got arrested for murdering his wife.
Yes.
I don't think he did it.
Okay, that's good. Why?
No reason. I just don't think he did it.
Why?
Well, he couldn't have.
Why couldn't he have?
I don't think he was in the city at the time, was he?
You don't think he was in the city? What, he wasn't in L.A.?
No, I don't think so.
Well, he just got done eating dinner with his wife, and she got her brains blown out. What do you mean he wasn't in the city?
He might have left town.
What, right after he had dinner with her?
Look, you're so smart. What's your opinion?
I think he did it.
All right. What else?
I don't have anything else to talk about.
Okay, this is a Bud Dickman and David Hall segment.
Jesus.
It's all a confection.
Confection?
Something they've cooked up for our delight.
So it's not real?
Oh, it's real. Everything is real. There's nothing more real than a mirage.
Soundboard man. Are we on yet?
There's a hole in my heart, in my heart.
All right.
Woo.
Bring it home, guys.
Little splits, but they weren't names, they were little references.
Remember, there's an inherent beauty in soup cans that Michelangelo could not have imagined existed.
About
Photoshop World ticket again, and another prize that we'll take a look at in a few minutes.
Excellent. And we also have a little special guest coming in. We'll actually, we're going to say he's coming in, but he was already here. So when
you know what? You may be right. Of course, we don't know about that yet. We will by the end of this program.
At the depths of the Great Depression.
Yeah, pretty scary. Pretty scary. But that's you know. But the premise of your
fix it. It's gone, MacReady. All right. We've got to bring this whole place right down into the ice. Gary.
Have a grasp that takes us all the way back to the dawn of the universe, and that allows us to understand what's been happening over the last 14 billion years.
Well, I'll put it a different way. What many constitutional scholars know, there are details of that history up to date that they don't like to talk about publicly.
Who's buying it?
Well, you know, it's as the money moved out, there are certain players who have done very, very well. I mean, we are centralizing the economy. For, you know, let's take, for example, Carlyle Group. Carlyle Group started in 1980s. They were kind of a nobody and nothing, and all of a sudden, as the missing money goes missing, they explode with lots of investment, and now are, I think, the 11th largest defense contractor in the country.
And they bought a lot of these companies undervalued, and then all of a sudden...
Well, they bought companies, and then they got contracts.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, if I have a stock, and then, you know, if you look at the story of Enron, you know, Harvard puts out studies saying we ought to deregulate energy. Those studies get taken to the government. The government suddenly, you know, outsources all their energy purchases to Enron. Enron stock flies up. You know, that's called pump and dump stock market fraud using government contracts.
In some cases, you don't even have to bid, do you?
Right. I mean, all these things can be arranged in the overt world if you know how to do it and you can work cross-government in the private sector.
All right. Making the assumption this is going on, I mean, how much more money do these organizations, do these people, do whoever they may be, I call them the Illuminati. I think we're talking about the same thing. What are they going to do with it all?
Well,
I mean, if you got
you know, my fear is that they're going to. I mean, what we saw between 1998 and September 2001 was a financial coup d'état, and in September 10th of 2001, Rumsfeld was pressed about the 2.3 missing money. At a press conference, I was working with reporters in Washington coming out with big stories during the appropriation process, and I said to the reporter, you know, literally the day before 9/11, nothing can stop this from going mainstream now, and then 9/11 happens. And my question with 9/11 is, one, did it slam the door on the $4 trillion of missing money being ever found, number one, but number two, was it a mechanism to move the black budget on budget? Because as a result of 9/11 and the Patriot Act and that whole process, DOD's been relieved from a lot of their financial reporting requirements, and suddenly, if you look at any of my estimations of the size of the black budget before September 11th, 2001, and you look at how much the defense budget has increased, you know, it's remarkable. You know, one wonders if they just got tired of running around and doing all this financial fraud and narcotics trafficking and decided, you know, we just need more control and we need to get the black budget on budget.
So let's go for the gusto.
The audience doesn't need to see, to follow the character when he moves out of frame. You have sound, you have just the bookends of the scene that tell you what is happening and what may be happening. And it involves the viewer more than cutting into the room to show them exactly what he's doing. All of a sudden, the viewer becomes, the audience becomes more active in the scene, and I think there's a greater connection emotionally.
Remember, I always work on a copy of the image, not the original.
As always, we're going to cruise through these tricks fairly quickly, so feel free to pause or rewind the podcast if we're going too fast.
With the material than if you always deliver it to them. So I think if we feel like the audience is getting the information by something that may be happening, and it involves the viewer more than cutting into the room to show them exactly what he's doing, all of a sudden, the audience doesn't need to see, to follow the character when he moves out of frame.
Remember, I always work on a copy of the image, not the original.
And what we call the second most powerful day of the year, traditionally that of September 23rd, another boost, another alignment.
Talkative Andy Warhol and Gabby Sonny Liston always fly Braniff.
Following takes place between 1 p.m.
in metaphysics at the quorum threshold. But who's counting? On the brink, the precipice, tilting point, tip of the pinhead. Head back 30 degrees. Altered consciousness straight ahead. It's like terrorism today. Which isn't really terrorism. It's negative ego fantasy, but to you it is just a bad nightmare that could happen because you can think of it and be afraid. As the conceptual snowman gets constructed on the beach, before the waves come in and take her away, more horrors can be feared. And all we have to fear is the things we're afraid of. Pretty sophisticated today. The end game, almost the complete annihilation of even the substitute for reality. I think I covered that last show. We're on the third copy now, and it's not digitally perfect either. It's like VHS to VHS to VHS. It's a love letter to all that is full of static and causes pain in the like pins and eyes pain when you watch it. It's like a VHS Windows kind of syndrome. Going for a triple hat score now. Three pairs of gloves on the ice, and no one even gives a shit if they get penalized, because it's all over now. Limits not holding. Trillions in financial fraud to corporations through the central bank, the Federal Reserve, heist. It's bad everywhere. Look what they've done to wine. Crimes aplenty. Is it retribution time for the righteous? Some people think we should have a stock market crash much stronger than 1929. Price decline at least down to 900 on the Dow Industrials. Bottoming out around 2010 to 2014, that is what will happen, according to the specs. Just reading it here. I got a Dewline report about a month or so ago on my media intel. Credit market has been heisted, blown up like a big fake tit. Not even the good, bad kind. Ready to blow.
It is the High Magician that can ready you for each of these subsequent times.
And that's where metaphysics comes in again. Metaphysics giveth, metaphysics can taketh away, and re-giveth. Gotta spell that better now. Come again? Intervention. X factors. Let's have them. You know what I'm talking about. Get to work. Wake up call. This is it. Forget everything you learned on the street or in your shithole that you live in, like the one I live in. Forget all that shit. Time to go to work. Let that haze fade away. Let it drain off. Pop that stretched, fake, hollow balloon. No big deal. This is what you've been doing. It's coming to a head. On the way to the next big thing, or I should say a big thing, since we haven't had one yet around here. All we've had is a shit storm going on. A good place to get the fuck out of. That's what we've been doing. So let's get the fuck out of it. Otherwise, old people and orphans and mom and pops, and everybody's going to be Walmarted the fuck out of town. Every mom and pop go and get early 6 feet under. Of course, most mom and pops have been dead for 20 years anyway. Life in the shithole. The Matrix, domination reality. This, you know, this is about to come apart. 12 ways from Sunday. Any area you want to look, it's like a miraculous, instantaneously created horizon. That's events to you and me, you empirical pigs, you. Shame on you. Get that thingness out of your heads, and you'll have room for something real. Financial tryst been going on since the early 80s, besides the other ones that happened before. World's financial blow up. It will happen. On one level of reality, gotta sidestep, get busy, figure it out. Yes, it will happen. That's forget what the experts say. I'm talking here. One thing I'm good at is finding out the right stuff.
As well as for the rest of a life of unfolding, unraveling, of revealing. Those changes deep within the neurons of your brain, deep within the DNA of every cell of your body, within every living consciousness of your universe.
So enough of enough bullshit. I think the bullshit in the world is doubling every in-breath. You know, the Matrix, prime concept, deny that we're part of the One, connected to any source. So it's all busy about showing we can do it all ourselves. But this isn't self-reliance. This is just a stupid program. And in doing it itself, it has been undoing all the real stuff. because all the real stuff is part of the one, while differentiated at the same time. So we've been forgetting and unlearning everything that hasn't been forgot or unlearned already. That's what's been going on. Look at science. What a joke. Best minds of my generation. Gone to the shitter. Well, most of the good best minds. Of course, the most easily fooled. Fatal flaw for those scientists. Even the renegades. Get off the goddamn life raft already. You know, have some fun. Get smarter. Getting stupider every minute you work on that shit. Makes Windows look good.
Certainly, to most elegantly access, to most elegantly take the fullest advantage of what has happened with the vortex open, closing, but living inside each of you. The High Magician can help you and ready you. Beyond that as well, the High Magician can add an elegance, or rather can add an excellence, can add an excellence to the magic that you already know, to the work you do with the magical child, with the magical aspect, to the work that you do with the magical life, the techniques that you have used and used so well can now work like they never have before. 33 seconds can come alive and crackle with aliveness. The mists of manifestation technique can become so much more than it's ever been. The pure visualization, the pure statement. And what we're going to work with over the weekend, to get into a place, to get into a residence where all you have to do is ask and it happens.
And 2 p.m.
Towards regions which are not ruled by time and space. To live is to believe.
So here you are, Marcel, looking at your big glass.
Yes.
That's about the time frame.
That kind of excellence, creation. It is the High Magician in each of you that can add that excellence. Additionally, as it can open you to commitment, so it can open you. So it can open you to the chaos. It can open you to the imagination, to the creativity, and yes, to the power, the unique kind of power so critical to the high magic. So critical to the high magic that is the next step in creating that positive future of dreams, of creating that virgin future. And in creating a new kind of human being who can thrive in the new world. Of dreams, of creating that virgin future.
Yeah. I mean, it's very hard if you really study what happened on 9/11, and more importantly, Judge George, you really, if you really study, I have an article called 9/11 Profiteering, where I estimate the different areas of ways that people made money on 9/11. I mean, my guess is it was the most profitable covert operations in the history of piracy.
When the one looks into herself, she can dissolve the inner critic and move to the belly. When the one looks into herself, she can dissolve the inner critic and move to the belly. When the one looks into herself, she can dissolve the inner critic and move to the belly. The belly has its own intuition. It's through the belly that you sense perfection. You can never sense perfection through the mind. When the one moves into herself, there is a sense of being able to follow the perfection of the moment. Even though it might be a moment that is in the midst of winter, a moment that isn't perfect, it leads to something perfect. It's a process toward perfection, a step toward perfection. And when the ones can follow that, they become real leaders and inspirations to others, because there's no question of self-promotion, or what am I going to get out of this, or will I be rewarded for my efforts. Ones don't consider that. It's the reward of the job well done. It's the sense of being in the perfect flow. It's the sense of being moved by something greater than oneself that the one is entirely devoted to. Benefit, the self, doesn't enter into the picture because it's such a pleasure in doing the right thing at the right time. I've interviewed two panels where all of the participants agreed on the basic issues about their type, meeting other people's needs, being a giver, not being able to recognize needs of their own, those kinds of matters. But when the word pride was mentioned, you get this blank stare often, even on the part of very good self-observers. Pride is a hidden factor in the lives of twos. It takes a great deal of uncovering to discover the center point of the whole fixation of attention that determines this personality type. Pride means being able to meet other people's needs and having a good deal of self-importance about that. I'm the best giver that you've ever met is kind of the inner theme of the pride platform. But I have no needs of my own. I require nothing back. And that's the hidden feature that twos have to uncover. Because, of course, there is a buried unconscious agenda. As with every type of person, we do intend to get something back for the energy that we expend. The drive to be a giver, to be especially attuned to other people's welfare, to notice what they need, has a history of being able to make one's way through life by becoming indispensable. It's an important factor in pride to be closely associated to the people who are important to you in life.
I tire again of all those business people who wear as a badge of courage the fact that they haven't taken all their vacation. Of courage, the fact that they haven't taken all their vacation.
Wer auch die Krise im Augenblick sein mag, sie wird durch unseren unabänderlichen Willen, durch unsere Opferbereitschaft und durch unsere Fähigkeiten am Ende trotz alledem gemeistert werden. Wir werden auch diese Not überstehen. Es wird auch in diesem Kampf nicht in Asien siegen, sondern Europa und an der Spitze jene Nation, die seit 1500 Jahren Europa als Vormacht gegen den Osten vertreten hat und in alle Zukunft vertreten wird unter Großdeutsches Reich.
Pretty much every movie has between 7 and 12 sequences. Alan Guth, two of the foremost thinkers about the origins of the universe.
There is something else, though, and that is the absence of wishful thinking, meaning those events which defy analysis on any level. I am consumed this morning by a spiritual heat. My body's fire is aglow with a desire I cannot name.
But if you leave me a message, I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thanks.
When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. I'm sorry, but I didn't hear anything. At the tone...
I mean, my guess is it was the most profitable covert operation in the history of piracy. And, you know, it's impossible to explain the sort of facts without assuming that, that some faction inside was complicit.
I was going to say, you're now treading on some very thin ice. So I want you to be very specific on some of the things we say here.
Bovine sounds burden of last meeting.
At.
Electrically chosen impedance descendants.
B.
Sherbets and cabbage salad. Careless
cautious
breakfast food glances.
Construct.
An inquisitive hammer of sorts.
Do.
Offended inferiors.
Don't.
With nothing more than bananas. Flying
everything.
Mammals related to projectiles.
Eyes.
Repeats limited to a small circle.
Forever.
Soup servers.
Genuine.
Slow movers and extinct birds.
Guilty.
Gray hairs covering
have
garden spots. Profitably
heavenly
chosen teeth. Green
hernia
feldspar picket. Old
idea
time dagger carols.
In.
Surrounded by a network
inclination
of nerves. Breathes
invisible
across adjective suffixes.
Is.
Fiends not fit
joking
to speak of. Stumpy
like
Mohammed and others. Fish eggs.
Lock.
Young birds and wintry precipitation.
Me.
Porcelain cup
moving
full of life and vigor. A
my
fish dish of the ear.
Necessarily.
Surrounded by cautious attitude.
Not.
Certain computer data eloped.
Only.
Urbane diminutive of Mary.
Other.
The enjoyment of refuse.
Over.
Tin Pan Alley denizens set straight.
Personiac.
Slang-free chimney phrase.
Personifold.
Dry-as-dust dinner, army style.
Personipulate.
Weary, wild plum.
Quandary.
A kind of pintailed duck's medieval
rest
guild. Favorite throbs
risk
breathe with difficulty.
Run.
Pinochle card copycats at best.
Say.
Urges speak angrily.
She.
Flower pronoun amphitheaters.
Solution.
Slang vestments withered.
Sort.
Project deadlines. They just don't interfere with the activities and the work patterns of the other people. Actually, the well-organized individual complements the efforts of other persons and ensures there is always a smooth, non-crisis workflow. Organizational abilities are a cornerstone to business success.
And the more I look at it, the more I like it.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
The purity of Gus Van Sant's cinema is in that it's not manipulative. You don't use the traditional methods of a music score that heightens emotion by being happy music when it's a happy scene and sad when it's sad.
I tire again of all those business people who wear as a badge of courage the fact that they haven't taken all their vacation.
And you don't have the editing telling you where to look and what to pay attention to and all that sort of manipulation that is, you know, standard in film and television. It
would be very near the top. Organizational abilities and the organization capabilities.
It's more of just a pure presentation, and you're left on your own to interpret it. And it's not manipulative by nature.
This is the back stairs.
You noticed she had the edition on the internet?
Uh-huh.
The original details?
The
original detail drawings for the edition.
Oh, some of that information was for because we are, come on in. Jesse, this is Jim Zabrowski.
Nice to meet you.
Jim, this is Jesse. Is it Colin?
Colin.
Come on in. I will do this in my office. Some of that, we had a feasibility study done for possibly expanding this building and or moving elsewhere. And that, that's the reason all that information was up there for the different people who wanted to bid, and then it was just sort of documentation. So what we basically found out was that it's a hard bid, hard building to expand because of the wetlands and a lot of other issues. Oh, do you have trouble getting here?
No. No, I'm familiar with the town. Actually, the general contractor I worked for last year bought a house here a couple of years ago.
Oh, okay.
So.
Yes.
How are you?
Hi.
Do you have any speedy dry or kitty left?
You mean like ice melt kind of stuff?
No, I need it because the hydraulic will go in the truck and I have a puddle up.
No, I think I might have sand. I'll put it.
Come on. Okay. We'll just cover a little bit. That's all right. That's a familiar myself. So you work for a contractor?
Yeah, I work for a guy that grew up on the same street as me in Brookline, a guy that's about 20 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
Not that many, but.
Mm-hmm.
And we developed a relationship in the last 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
So on and off, I've been doing painting and taking an administrative role and
mm-hmm.
bossing people around occasionally when
mm-hmm.
they needed. And he built a house, actually. He built condo residences
mm-hmm.
in his
yeah.
house in Brookline.
In Brookline, oh, okay.
And divided these two apartments he was renting into condos.
Mm-hmm.
And the one he lived in himself was made into a condo as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
he purchased a house here in Wayland somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Sedge Meadow Road, which
yeah.
I don't
know. Oh, yeah.
I haven't been over there yet.
So. It's sort of hard to find, actually. Sedge Meadow Road. When we first moved here, I had met and made a friend on Sedge Meadow Road, and every time I went over there, I would get lost.
Yeah.
And because there's sort of a bunch of funny turns that you take, and it's easy to miss one.
I have a theory, and
uh-huh.
I've always said it, follow the money.
Right.
Who benefits,
right.
and you'll find a lot of things.
Right.
Now, since you've brought it up, I'm...
Track spine-chilling spotted fish. Nothing optic.
That.
Slanting malt beverages.
The.
A three-dimensional scene resembling sticky stuff.
This.
Going to ask you, do you have any doubts at all that these crazed Islamic fundamentalists were part of this?
You know, I think if crazed Islamic fundamentalists were part of it, it was as an unimportant part, certainly not a controlling part.
What if they were the tool?
You know, they could have been a tool, but serious money does not bank an operation like that. You know, with Looney Tunes people in critical roles. I mean, if I'm an investor and I'm banking a covert operation, I'm just not going to bank something that's dependent on somebody who's volatile or amateurish or not.
Is
know,
this
a serious player?
Would this be a worldwide conspiracy?
Well, I think, you know, in my experience, George, things are pretty fractured. I'm not saying that the financial system isn't highly centralized, but it's a very big planet, and it's very hard to run things. And my history, my read of the history of sort of dirty money in the United States, is if you're one faction and you're competing with other factions, and the crowd continually votes for the guy who has the most money, then if they do dirty and you don't do dirty, then they win and kill you.
Now, there are some people who would call you ridiculous, crazy, unpatriotic, God knows what. Do they not listen? Do they not want to hear?
A circle on the go.
Two.
Apathy catalyzing substances.
Board.
Elliptic natives cruising
Once.
Frugally, describing some party dresses of this or that.
What?
Manifest backs exposed to
when?
Heat.
When?
hard black rubber cut of meat.
Wild.
Virginia Willow makes progress.
Woman.
Stirs up nothing but perception on the left part of the eye.
Wonderful.
Rushing in upon the time of day.
Work.
Plato gains control over the barbecue pit.
Yes.
Short, plump prayers.
Yet.
Ancient lakes jump up suddenly.
You.
Suspects. What about all of these prison camps that are being set up around the world?
Boss?
Yeah?
Boss, ain't you going to bed?
Not right now.
Ain't you planning on going to bed in the near future?
No.
You ever going to bed?
No.
Well, I ain't sleepy either.
Good, then have a drink.
No, not me, boss.
Don't have a drink.
Boss, let's get out of here.
No, sir. I'm waiting for a lady.
Please, boss, let's go. Ain't nothing but trouble for you here.
Coming back? I know she's coming back.
We'll take the car and drive all night. We'll get drunk. We'll go fishing and stay away until she's gone.
Shut up and go home, will you?
No, sir. I'm staying right here.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, but you're right. The perception from all of us was that regulators, you know, changed the ratio for SNLs, and you know they didn't have enough capital, and the real estate market, as you say, tanked.
Well, there was certainly sort of a pump and dump of the real estate market with the help of regulatory policies. You know, but the question is who let that happen and why? You know, I always say that crime that pays is crime that stays.
Contractor that I work for. I've been working for on and off, lives there, bought a house there.
Oh, just
in
the room?
Mm-hmm.
So somewhat familiar with the area. Anyway, so how did you hear about this job anyway?
Looked on the internet, called up.
Mm-hmm. You found it on the internet, on the website, on the town website. Mm-hmm. Good. Let's see. So
there were other library jobs in the area. There's one in Brookline.
Mm-hmm.
I've been spending most of my time in the library.
Ah.
After the high-tech industry went south,
mm-hmm.
That's where most of my time has been spent.
It is incredibly ancient, our universe. Nearly 14 billion years.
Well, doing this long 3.5-hour diagnostic test
mm-hmm.
on each element, it's called the 3-axis,
mm-hmm.
274 amp,
mm-hmm.
is what would actually drive, give that MRI to that pulse of energy
mm-hmm.
when the patient's in it. So, mansion during the hot summer of 2001 in this little room, no bigger than the library, what it was like to get up after this diagnostic test and roll this 1,000-pound machine over to the shipping area. I mean, not only was it a challenging job. Somebody showed me a picture of 9/11. I didn't know how to take that.
How shall I put it? Geopolitics. If it's not about gloom and doom, if it's not about the world coming, you know, to an end.
Another boost, another alignment.
Of perceiving the world and the way you live in it such that each experience brings you more deeply into the meditative space. At the same time, however, this kind of meditation requires firm grounding. You must continue to function effectively in the world as you meditate upon it. This is meditation in action. It finally becomes the core of a consciously lived life.
Look, they are moving in. I said, Ma, do you know that they are us?
Because I think if you look at who got away with what money, it was clear we had a white-collar crime epidemic. And if I could tell a couple stories about how I first, you know, because I didn't land at HUD and say, oh, I'm going to clean up black budget fraud. I didn't even know what a black budget was at the time. I started as assistant secretary at the FHA with the Federal Housing Administration. And I walked in the first day, and I said to the guy who ran the money, the controller, I said, I'd like to see our financial statements. And he said, well, we don't have financial statements. We only get audited every couple years.
Every couple years.
So I said, well, let me see the budgets. And so he brought me in a stack of budgets that would go all the way from on your desk all the way up to the ceiling. And I read them four times and called them back in. And I said, you know, under the law, we're required to be self-supporting. We're supposed to charge enough for mortgage insurance to pay for all of our expenses and the losses we incur when mortgages default. But I can't tell whether we're making or losing money, so I can't tell if we're in compliance with the law. Where do I find the numbers? And he said, well, that's not in the budget. And I said, well, where is it? And he said, the accountants have that information. And I said, well, where are the accountants? I want to talk to them. And he said, they report to a different assistant secretary. You're not allowed to talk to them.
Now, who made up this bureaucracy?
So I said to him, I raised a lot of money for George Bush, so I'm going to get this changed. In about 2 months of lobbying, we got the accountants moved over to report to us, and I discovered in the single family fund alone, we were losing $11 million a day.
$11 million a day.
Right. So that was the first 24 hours of the accountants were reporting to me. So I said, all real estate is local. Where are we losing the money? And they said, we don't keep that information. I said, we have 80 field offices. What do I tell the field office managers? It's an emergency. Go figure out, how much cash we're taking in and sending out, by office. And they came back 2 months later, another 2 months, and said, we're making money in 8 regions and we're losing money in 2 regions. This is 1989. Can you guess what 2 regions we were losing money in, George?
No, I'm not even going to take a stab.
Texas and Colorado.
Taxes in Colorado?
And remember, the federal Texas region included Arkansas, so you had both the Clintons and the Bushes in the same.
Sure. That's right.
Anyway, it turned out I called the regional deputy administrator in Texas, and I said, Sam, how much do you think you lost last year? And he said, I think we broke even. And I said, no, you lost $2 billion.
And they didn't even know it. They didn't even know it.
They didn't even know.
If we did that with our own personal budget, we'd be out of business.
Right. And what I discovered as we started to do what I call place-based financial disclosure, which is, let's look at how the money works by place. I think we had a white-collar crime epidemic, because if you take the numbers for the S&L losses and the numbers for the HUD losses and everything else, and you lay them out against, what I describe as sort of government systemic financial fraud, There was essentially a white-collar crime. We pumped and dumped the real estate market, but that was not all by accident.
Okay, now you were, of course, the Assistant Secretary of Housing under a Republican administration.
Yes.
Let me ask you, is this what you've uncovered about these black ops, which we're going to get into? Did this skew all parties involved here, or was it just Democrats?
Everything I saw was completely bipartisan. My company was hired back when I left HUD in 1990. I started a company which several years later was hired back on competitive contract to the Clinton administration.
All right.
I ran into the same problems, the same issues, and ultimately the company was fired by the Clinton administration. So, George, I'm speaking to you as a person who's been fired by both Republicans and Democrats.
Okay, so this is a problem of government, not about party.
No, actually, it's not a problem of government, because, in fact, I would submit to, as a financial matter, there is no government. What you found as you dug much deeper is the political appointees came and go and turned over fairly quickly, but beneath them was an infrastructure of defense contractors and the big New York Federal Reserve Bank. And the agencies were really run at that deeper level, through contracts. And in fact, to have a sovereign government, George, you need to have control. Government officials need to have control of your information systems and your bank accounts. And literally, we have a situation where the creditors, or companies that are owned by the creditors, literally control and operate the information systems and the bank accounts. If you had a company that was essentially, needed to borrow money to keep its operations going, and the people who were financing your operations controlled your information systems and bank accounts, I dare say you wouldn't really run the company, would you?
No, not at all. You're kind of like a figurehead.
Right.
Well, now where did they get the money, Catherine? Because, they can't be getting it just from our taxes. So are they just borrowing?
Yeah, let's go back.
And also back off your phone just a little bit when you talk to me, okay?
Okay, let's go back and look at sort of the history of the black budget mechanism.
Okay.
In 1947, we passed a law called the National Security Act. And then in 1949, we passed a law called the CIA Act. And those two laws gave the intelligence community a legal mechanism whereby they could draw money out of other agencies' budgets with no transparency and no disclosure.
You mean these other agencies wouldn't even know about it?
Well, in theory, somebody in the agency might know about it.
Yeah, if somebody took $500 out of my checking account, I would hope I'd know about it.
Well, I believe today, if for example, in fiscal 1998, there was $59 billion missing from HUD. And my best guess of what happened is, in fact, money was stolen out of HUD, and I doubt there's a government official who knows anything about it.
My gosh.
I'm sorry, but I didn't hear anything. If you don't float that far, you will stay in the current past, time and space, and therefore you need to float through the day, through that night, and then let the dawning of the second day come. Then when the river stops flowing, when it won't let you go any further, this must be the place.
Are attracted to powerful people, those who, because of their position in life, are able to extend benefits to the people who are indispensable. The pride also manifests itself in the seemingly benign virtue of potentiating other people, of bringing others to their best. The hidden agenda might be, if you win, because I'm indispensable, I also win. If I give to you, and you're grateful, then when you win, I also get my own needs met. A confusing feature of pride is that it's sometimes altruistic. There are no strings attached. Sometimes it's just a pleasure to give. There's a sense of, I see a potential, I'm able to support it, and if my friend wins, the person that I've helped, I also feel elevated, taken along into the pleasure of their life. I feel like I'm a participant when I help another person.
Come here. Look. Look at that moon. That's the same moon that Jesus saw. And Buddha. And Muhammad.
Never thought of that.
It's a reminder to us all that we are linked to everyone and everything on this little planet.
But the sum total was nothing compared with his misery. He was a guard come to bring him to the commandant, and beside the commandant was the Irish renegade who served as interpreter. There were further papers on the commandant's desk. It looked as if the same cartel which had brought in Kitty Cobham's note had brought in letters for the commandant. "Good afternoon, sir," said the commandant, always polite, offering a chair. "Good afternoon, sir, and many thanks," said Ormond. He was learning Spanish slowly and painfully. "You have been promoted," said the Irishman in English. "What?" said Hornblower. "Promoted," said the Irishman. "Here's the letter. The Spanish authorities are informed that on account of his meritorious service, the acting commissioner, Mr. Horatio Hornblower, midshipman and acting lieutenant, has been confirmed. Their lordships of the Admiralty express their confidence that Mr. Horatio Hornblower will be admitted immediately to the privileges of commissioned rank."
They are nothing but a bundle or collection of different perceptions, which succeed each other with an inconceivable rapidity and are in a perpetual flux and movement.
"I'm sorry, but I didn't hear anything."
"Get out there and crush the hill, knowing you will step into a lifetime that will reveal to you your lost power.
Contaminate them. We could destroy them with the atomic bomb.
I love feminine things. You know, I love a woman's face when she's choosing a pair of shoes, or when she's looking at a guy that she likes, or when she's looking at a guy that she doesn't like anymore. I like that face too. As long as I'm not the guy.
Well, how do I know it's really a past life and not just a fantasy? So what if it is? Just a fantasy. Why that fantasy? Why not some other fantasy? Because within it is contained the information you seek. Talk to the child, talk to the adolescent, to seek out those lost powers, one or several of them. If it is hidden, look at your instinctive response to situations. Not how I crumble, how I fall apart, that obviously isn't my power. But how I respond positively. Gee, when everything goes wrong, I run and hide. Is that my power? No, no.
Geeks in Space, Slashdot Radio.
All right, we're back. Excuse this little technical difficulty there.
Let's just hope that this episode actually records before it's destroyed.
Yeah,
like last
Mac
week.
Crashiness.
That was the first time, actually, in quite some time that we had an episode go boom boom.
Yeah, it's been a while. We were due.
Yeah, that's true. We were overdue. So, this is Geeks in Space. You're listening to it. We're making it. We apologize in advance for the sadness of this particular episode. I am Rob Commander Taco.
I am Captain
Hello, Commander Taco Malda.
I am Jeff Emo Space. I am controlled by the hive mind. I will speak.
Dude,
Jeff has had a lot.
Jeff is on
way too much caffeine
and
harp.
Sleep.
And sleep.
I also had
10 hours of sleep last night.
I went to bed at about 9:45 and got up at about 7:30,
which officially makes you a grandma.
Hey, why don't you come over here and we'll see where this microphone
Love
fits.
Buddy.
Oh, I'm sorry, I
Love.
Can't come over there.
It's
I have to run
check
the mixer.
Your urethra.
I may have said that painting relates as much to life as it does to art, or vice versa, but I don't think so. I said that you couldn't make either, and you had to work in that hole between.
What does that say?
It's undefined. That makes the adventure of painting.
The graffitis. Little splibs and little splits, but
nobody can take that away from you, and you can use it every day. You'll be amazed, even what you might consider in a school the initial classes being the rudimentary classes. These classes are amazing, and you'll start finding that, hey, I already know this, so I can deal with this emergency or problem right now. So it's well worth the investment.
But they weren't names. They were little references, little jealous statements, and little criticisms. And he was able to take that level and have abstracted into high modernism. Until around 1982 that he begins to get his organizing act together. And before that, he was working it out. This is like looking at an early Pollock before the level of abstraction is higher and more sophisticated. around 82, that's the turning point. Suddenly, boom, boom, suddenly everything is pulsing. Suddenly the wiring is now complete.
New Metaphysics. I think we're at the 312th boxcar. From horizon to horizon. All eyes on. It's rolling down the track. Only movie screen we've ever had. We're on it. Big things are popping. Eyes awake. Get ready for near peak experience. Cruising speed. Gonna need it. Get out of that funk you've been in for a decade and a half or so. It's that time. Things are popping. Economy blowed up like a atomic bomb. Making physical into plasma. Mere shadows on the cave wall. You can take the entire matrix, so-called history, shove it off the tip of the head of the pin. You can do that now. Quite a sub-mediocre program it is, too. Many civilizations around here. Time and space being what they are and all. Take that Darwin bullshit and shove it down some dank hole. With that part of your mind that's stuck on it, go down there with it. You gotta be kidding me, man. Believe that bullshit? In love with the straight line, aren't you? Time to get to work. Enough of that daydream bullshit. Some bad coke or something. Out of that crack hole. Fucking Matrix is a bad crack parlor. How dare you be that in love with such a bullshit program? I mean all of it. It's all the same. Every parameter on the horizon. Same exact bullshit. All those areas you're not hip about. Just pretend you are. Follow along with yourself. About to blow. Many tsunamis got by us already. Various people helping us sidestep. All hands on deck. Flux state is fluctuating. As it must. Per regs. Of you. You to man. I'm just an echo in the left semi-spherical canal of some part of something connected to the temporal lobe. You know, the in-between brain. It's on both sides. It's not the actual midbrain. That's right in the middle there. Wake that pineal gland up. You want to live past senile disease stage coming at you. Come out the other side. See what the next, excuse me, see what a big thing is. Not this bad B-movie we've been in. Trillions dollar central banking fraud about to blow. Stock market's tanking. Take everything with it. Short-term government securities. Probably okay with a good fund that uses a safe bank. But then again, degree is a matter of degree, ain't it? Put down that crack pipe. That Cartesian anal throb device you've been sitting on. Pull that fantasy out of your ass. It's a wake-up call. Economic Dewline. DEFCON 1. Widows and orphans. Watch out. That's you, by the way. Avert. Miracle time. Get to work. Take care of your area of interest and expertise. The media people. Finance. Get to work. Both channels. No retribution now. Nobody got to be spanked. Rich fat cat motherfucks don't have to be punished. They're not really out there anyway. You to man.
I'm certainly always very interested in characters who are trapped, who are in a rut, who can't get out of their situation, who can't grow, who can't, with whom they're trapped in a relationship, which always puts me in a position of writing the shorter piece rather than the long piece, because that sense of being a prisoner, and certainly your own prisoner, is often a hard thing to sustain over the 2 hours of a movie. So I always find that I become a miniaturist. I just want to see a moment in her life that reflects the total and how the person is trapped in the total. So it's just something that's always interested me.
It was the most profitable covert operations in the history of piracy.
Collage for him was not simply the assemblage of...
Said, I don't want to look at that. My automatic response to cut and run. But how do I automatically respond positively?
Collage for him was not simply the assemblage of visual information that I worked with other people. It worked linguistically.
What about my fantasies and my recurring dream themes? What do I find in there? To look at my relationship with the archetypal energies, by whatever form it comes, If you don't have one, that's okay, then don't look, all right? But if you do have a relationship with archetypal energies, that's obvious which ones and why. To work with those, to explore the unconscious, that ribbon of road in the underworld, to look similarly in the constriction. And again, the way to best work with any constriction is to know what it is tangibly. And a constriction could be large or small. Obviously, the large ones are more likely. The repetitive ones that I always seem to repeat over and over, those repetitive ones, that's where you're more likely going to find. So what is the tangibility of that constriction? What emotions does that constriction produce? What emotions? Fear, anger, anxiety, hate, resentment. What's the continuous or the constant emotion that keeps coming up? Martyrhood, resentment, fear. What emotion do I feel around this tangibility? That converts the constriction from a thing into an emotion. This is the emotion. That's what I'm seeking. That's what I'm creating. Okay, now, what do I need to do in order to feel that emotion? How do I know to be angry? How do I know to feel hurt? How do I know to be scared? How do I know to feel anxious? What do I need to do? What energy do I need to generate inside of me in order to feel this emotion that comes out of that constriction? Now I'm converting an emotion into energy. Okay. Now, what strength, what power does that energy rely upon or demonstrate? Or reflect? What passion, what will, what imagination, what creativity, what perception, what drive, determination, vision, imagination? What does it rely upon? That is often the clue, if not the actual power. As I take the event, translate it into emotion. Take the emotion, translate it into energy. Take the energy and translate it into power, which is what energy is. Then I can discover that hidden power. And then I can start using it in more constructive ways, rather than this constriction. In my suffering, in my struggle, how am I trying to gain or hold love, gain or retain love? If I know my life lesson, which you probably know more than you think you do, what do I have to do to keep that problem in place? What kind of power do I need to use that I could redirect? And then I can discover those hidden powers, or rather those denied powers, excuse us. And of course, to be open to my higher self, to let them hold me, to let myself be loved enough to be given the powers that I haven't even known I had. By my higher self, by my soul, by God, Goddess, or by the Goddess energy herself.
I can't
you know, my focus is very much on money, and I tend to work from official documentation and official sources.
You see the power of this argument? Hume is telling us to stop tormenting ourselves with a hopeless effort to see what can't be seen. As long as we look outward, we're comfortably in touch with that stream of perceptions.
And if you look carefully at the death of American spirituality, he's been very specific about the daily news cover he's put on there. It's the image of Oliver North standing silent before the congressional hearings on the Iran-Contra affair. And the title is Stonewall, because he's stonewalling them with silence. But for David, of course, it's another political signifier, because David's from the post-Stonewall generation, which was the Stonewall riots, which happened in New York in, I believe, 1969. The back of the bull is not the Oliver North image. It's another page, and it's all about the probe into police corruption.
Just like any other animal would be. But because we also have the power of rational thought, and because...
Again, it's a political play. These are unrelated stories, but in the way he compositionally brings them together, we're talking basically about government corruption. So our cowboys, these heroes, these great protectors of liberty and defenders of justice, are in fact the true outlaws. And so when you get that Jesus head, and he's sort of turned it into this grotesque and truly suffering Jesus, and he's not suffering for our sins, he's suffering from our sins, and he's turned green with the bile of everything gone wrong and toxic in the American dream.
And I try and follow, you know, sort of how money works now. I engage in conjecture in the sense that I'm a founder of a website with a group of people called Unanswered Questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a great believer that, you know, when you're trying to understand a system whole, when you're trying to understand the patterns of money around an event, you know, cui bono, who benefits, the only way you can start to understand these things is by asking lots of questions. And researchers all over the world who ask questions and collaborate can come up with remarkable amounts of information, you know, even though we don't have the resources of a CIA or an NSA or a professional intelligence, you know, certainly.
Well,
CIA.
Let me ask, you were in the securities field. Somebody
right.
sold stock short, airlines and insurance companies.
Because now with the computers and software like Promise Software and its successor systems, you can, you know, working through the government contractors and the big banks, you can pull that kind of money out of an agency.
Instantly.
Well, there are two issues, and that's why I'm glad you brought up there's something other than taxes, and that is securities.
Yes.
Because let's say the Department of Defense was missing $2.3 trillion. It was, I believe it was fiscal 99 or fiscal 2000.
I love that. Missing.
It's called undocumentable adjustments is what, and this is from the official financial statements of the government. But how can the Department of Defense be missing $2.3 trillion in a year when total taxes was $1.6 trillion?
Now, when somebody asks, or do they, where did it go? Is it like public policy not to ask? Because you may end up in the bottom of some river?
Well, there are different games that are played when people ask where the money's going. For example, one game is to blame government incompetence. So in 1998, HUD was missing $59 billion, and when asked about it, the Inspector General said, well, this is terrible. You know, the systems don't talk to each other. We're not going to produce audited financial statements. We're not going to figure out where the missing money went. We're simply going to promise you that it won't happen again next year.
Well, and I got to tell you, even with audited statements, I don't have much trust in those anymore either when you've seen what has happened to some of these publicly traded companies and their auditors.
Well, but let me tell you how bad it is. I mean, at least Enron knew they were obligated to cook the book.
Yeah.
I was part of a group of people who worked mightily to persuade OMB to produce audited financial statements and then got laws passed to require it. And the government was supposed to produce audited financial statements starting in 1995. To date, they have never once produced audited financial statements. That's both the Clinton and the Bush administrations. And to our knowledge, $4 trillion has been reported undocumentable adjustments. And at the end of 2004, right after the election, the U.S. Treasury increased its liabilities in a write-up of $11 trillion, again, at refusing to produce audited financial statements. So Enron cooked its books, but the federal government doesn't even bother to cook its books. Just refuses to produce its books.
Are you saying that $4 trillion
That we know of.
That we know of is missing.
Yeah.
It's gone.
There's $3.3 trillion that's been reported missing from the Department of Defense.
How much of this might have been or sitting in individuals' bank accounts? Not CIA black ops and things that they're trying to do clandestinely. How much money do you think has gone to individuals?
I think it's a significant amount in the sense that, to move this much money and to launder this much money, you need to provide personnel benefits to all the different companies and people doing it.
For them to turn away.
A lot of money.
I think you're right.
If you look at the centralization of economic and political power in this country over the last 30 years, the primary financial mechanism is financial fraud and organized crime. And that's deeply connected to the black budget.
So, you know, when we just think of black budgets, so they're using this for some war somewhere, it's bigger than that, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think let me walk through sort of how this evolved, because when you hear someone like me describe, you know, $4 trillion, you think, well, it could never be happening, it could never be that big. And it helps to go back and understand how this thing has grown up, because it's taken about 100 years to get it to this point.
And as usual, being handed over to private power now that it's profitable. And it's very likely, I think most media analysts with their heads screwed on see, and indeed even report, that it's going to end up in the hands of a half a dozen megacorporations. Worse than the oligopolies that run steel and computers, because here we're talking about a new mode of information and communication and so on, as always built at public expense.
We can use language. We fool ourselves into believing we have some disembodied entity inside that we call the self.
I always love those artists who identify the problem, and instead of complaining about it, they make it their work. They fall in love with it, and they sit with the devil, and they project it.
And right now, we're right in the middle of it, being handed over to private power.
People walk in there, they make model of the year of their car, you look it up the computer, go get the part. People never figure that out. They walk in there with a piece of metal, throw it on the counter. You got anything that look like that? What's it off of? Truck. What kind of truck? Pickup.
A meditative space within you. This space stands between each thing you notice and each response you make.
apparently not being reported.
My husband didn't jump off that building. He didn't fall off it either.
You're taking things too personally. That's about the time frame.
New metaphysics. Just here, just appeared, like everything else, even those other things that supposedly have been here. I don't think so. Homo sapiens or whatever. I mean, if you need logic only, and you need a history for every crack snort you've ever had, you need to connect dots that aren't already connected. Bring in a Darwin thing. Otherwise, leave it alone, my friends. Homo sapiens is just here. Isn't that enough for you? I mean, you don't even know what Homo sapiens is. Oh, by the way, science has no idea what consciousness is, so therefore all of science is totally bogus. I believe that's scientific, what I just said. There's only one metaphysics that explains the fact that it's not part of metaphysics. Science isn't it. Science doesn't explain anything except how long your nose is. And if you got a drip going, who gives a fuck? Especially when your nose is growing every day, every thought. And for every conscious thought, there's 10,000 semi-conscious ones all at the same time. So you tell me who's stupid. Who's a moron? Who's a goddamn cretin, for Christ's sakes? The only thing stupider than a follow-on ignoramus is to follow that. It's a long boxcar train. Every boxcar going by diminishing into the foreground. Like a bipolar movie. Starring you. It's a wake up call, pal. Get to work.
I mean, like, it's not that there's no reporting. Like, you've heard about the Telecommunications Act, but it wasn't discussed as a public interest issue. It was discussed as a business issue. And in fact, most of the reporting was in the business pages. This is the big legislative achievement of last Congress, you know, Telecommunications Act of 1996. Reported in the business pages, and not as a public interest issue. Like, it's not supposed to be a question of public interest, whether major systems of information and interchange are handed over as gifts to Rupert Murdoch. That's not supposed to be an issue of public interest. The only thing that was discussed was, like, do you give it to six corporations or 12, you know, or do you do it this way or that way? Well, you know, that's effective indoctrination when these ideas, when these things don't even occur to people. It takes real indoctrination.
I can't stop thinking about my mom.
What about her?
Seeing her naked when I was a little girl. She was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. I'm gonna be a freak, Richard.
Camille, no.
Hi, I'm Dr. Wyatt. I'm your anesthesiologist.
Oh, hi.
How do you feel? What's wrong?
I'm scared.
You're gonna do well.
Oh, I'm gonna be mutilated.
Well, yes, it is true. It will take some time to adjust.
Get used to it, right? You're supposed to get used to everything. Like little animals.
Well, is that so bad?
No, it's a blessing to be little animals.
Did you talk to Dr. Chaput about reconstructive
surgery? I don't want to be reconstructed. Why don't you say something? Why are you standing there like a zombie? It's my husband.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, let's see. Have you had anything to eat or drink?
Not a thing.
Okay. I'll see you inside.
It scares me to death to be put to sleep.
What scares you about it?
No consciousness. No consciousness is death by definition.
It's like sleeping.
No, it's not. When I'm asleep, I'm with everybody from my life. Past, present. For better or worse, I'm connected. I just feel all fucked up.
You know, you're gonna have to try to relax. You're just making it worse on yourself.
We're nothing, Rich. Do you ever think about
that? No, we're
nothing.
We're a lot more than nothing.
No, we're fucking nothing. We're dreams and bones. You know what I hate? The surgeon doesn't come in here to say hi to me, touch base with me. He's in there hiding, waiting like an executioner. My mouth is so dry.
We'll get you some water.
I can't drink anything. Hello? Does that ring a bell? Just sit. Ow. You have that same face you've always had.
Oh, that's a relief.
Try to understand what I'm saying to you.
What are you saying?
I'm saying you... I don't know. It's got something to do with... Fuck. Do I have to explain myself always? You were a stranger once. What's that?
Something to relax.
No, I don't want to go to sleep yet. I'm not ready to go to sleep yet.
You won't go to sleep. It's just to relax you.
God, I don't like her. Horrible to be at the mercy of others.
We're not at the mercy of others. We're connected, like you just said.
Connected? My connections feel very frail right now.
The science of cosmology, the study of the origin and evolution of the universe.
Let go of my energies, O forbidden fruit, who will not be reached. Give me back my soul, or come into me once and for all.
Think. And there it seems to me there's no reason in principle to suppose we couldn't build a thinking machine, that we couldn't build an artificial brain.
Goddess, what he's driving at is that we're naturally adapted to our lives. In modern terms, we would say we've been evolved as social animals. We cooperate as well as compete. For the Enlightenment in general, nature becomes what a modern philosopher would call a God term. That is, it replaces the traditional God as the ultimate source of meaning and value.
And that's a theme we'll return to repeatedly in later lectures, but we'll also see that nature would mean very different things to different people. Throw the sand against the wind, and the wind blows it back again. Rousseau and Voltaire thought of themselves as opposites. In many ways, they were. They were certainly antagonists. But from Blake's point of view, they are two sides of the same coin. And that coin is deism, the religion of nature. What they share is the belief that nature can be an adequate source of meaning. Now, in Blake's view, the Enlightenment was absolutely right to stir things up, to criticize the repressive dogmas of organized religion. To that extent, it was profoundly liberating, and we'll encounter him saying that in many ways. But Blake also thought it did this cleanup job so vigorously, it threw out the meaning with the bathwater.
That shot helps, actually.
Good.
They run this place well, don't they?
Yes.
What?
Well, what?
What did you just say?
Nothing. You said something.
Yes.
What did you say?
Yeah. We're so lucky.
Lucky how?
To be a part of something.
What are we part of?
The Klingon.
What did you say?
About what?
You said something.
I know.
You know what?
I know I said something. I'm not out of it.
Well, what was it that you said?
About what?
About what you said.
I know.
Be together forever.
But yeah, I think you're right. This is worse than the handing over of decision-making power to private tyrannies, because in this case, it's also handing over, you know, access to the things that they're going to use for control of the public mind. These systems could also be used to liberate people.
And I've always been interested in making a movie or a series of short films about just a moment in a person's life.
It's my explanation. Well, more of an account of what happened. I'd been on my own for a while and getting kind of lonely and bored. Nothing to do all day. And that's when I started shadowing.
Shadowing?
shadow following. I started to follow people.
Who?
Anyone at first. I mean, that was the whole point. Somebody at random. Somebody didn't know who I was.
And then?
And then nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing. I just see where they went, what they did. Go home afterwards.
Why'd you do it?
See where they went. Anyone, I mean... How can I explain? You ever, been to a football match? Just let your eyes, go over, drift across a crowd of people. And they slowly stop and fix on one person, and all of a sudden that person isn't part of the crowd anymore. They become an individual. Just like that. Just became irresistible.
So you followed women?
No, I didn't follow women. It wasn't a sex thing. I followed anybody. I just wanted to see where they went, what they did.
You were playing a secret agent?
No, I'm a writer. Well, I want to be a writer anyway. I was gathering material for my characters. Well, to begin with. After a while, I spotted the dangers. I'd become hooked. I had to start making up rules to just try and keep it under control. Never follow people for too long. Don't follow women down dark alleys after dark, you know. Stuff like that. It was supposed to just be completely random. And when it stopped being random, that's when it started to go wrong. When I started to follow people, specific people, when I selected a person to follow,
Marco.
That's when the trouble started.
Marco.
Other people are interesting to me. Have you never listened to other people's conversations on the bus or on the tube, seen somebody on the street that looks interesting or is behaving slightly oddly or something like that, wondered what their lives involve, what they do, where they come from, where they go to?
What is it, Drano and Frito and the other
Dildo?
Yeah, that you can't parody science fiction anymore because it's becoming a parody of itself. This follows, you know, Captain. There's something hideous on the view screen. Captain says, "Turn on the laser beams." And then a voice comes out of nowhere, all looking under the seat cushions to see where the voice comes from. And it's talking to an echo chamber and says, "I can read your thoughts. I need your assistance." And they say, it's a ruse. Get the eagles going. Eagles take off. "We know this is a ruse. This is the captain talking from the control room. We know it's all a ruse. You don't need our help. You're going to zap us as soon as we take off to zap you first." And it's, you know, nothing is progressed. "I am a superior being. I am a kindly old fellow. You can believe everything I'm telling you because I'm really a computer, and would a computer lie?" And I thought, oh my God, I just saw that on the air Saturday night. And I said, that's Hal talking again. That's old Hal, you know, shining everybody on. "My name is Hal. Would I lie? Would a computer lie?" Herb Chaffee. He has an option on an Android Dream Electric Sheep that I don't dare bummer badmouth in silly movies.
Then I think I'll leave it.
What is that cutting the throat thing you guys keep doing? If you're listening, Herb Jaffe, I love your money. But you sure write lousy scripts, I'll tell you, man. You're a Neanderthal man is what you are. You're back in the Stone Age. You're back with George Pal. I don't want you to make a movie out of my book. I read the screenplay that they wrote for Do Android Dream of Electric Sheep. And it was a combination of Steve Reeves and Maxwell Smart. Why are they making all this cutting the throat motion? What is that? And I said, the producer, Robert Jaffe, Herb Jaffe's son, flew down to Fullerton. to talk with me about it, because I didn't think it was a final, you know, shooting script. I thought it was a rough draft, you know. And I says I'm going to beat you up right here in the airport. I says you're going to drag me down with you guys and ruin my career if you make a movie out of my book. He says, you mean it's that bad? And I says, yeah. And when I finally says, you mean you wrote that book seriously? He says, you science fiction writers take your writing seriously? I says, I'm serious enough to throw you right out of my car. I said, that's how serious we take it. I says, I'm going to buy that back from you. I'm going to give you the $2,000 option money back. I says, and he says, you're serious, aren't you? And we had about a four-hour rap session, which was very productive. They didn't make the movie. They just continued to hold the option. And I'm hoping they don't make the movie unless they, you know, write a decent script. It was really terrible. I mean, it was the worst script. How bad was it? I'll tell you how bad it was. You could have stopped the first person on the street and asked him to write a script, and he could have done a better job, really. And there's a guy I know who's into screenplay says it would also cost about $6 million to make it, which is another thing.
You wrote a screenplay of one of your own things.
Yeah, I wrote a good screenplay. I wrote a really good one of Ubik. And it seems to be the fate that the better the screenplay, boy, there's Gresham's law. I don't know how it applies to science fiction writing in general, but it sure applies to screenplays. You know, that the bad screenplays force the good out. I mean, if given a choice, they will make a movie out of a bad screenplay, and they'll throw the good screenplay back at the author.
If I remember the Rolling Stone piece, that screenplay you did of Ubik is currently bouncing around Europe, trying to get financed. Is that still the case, or is that another?
Yeah, it's still option. They're still trying to get financing for it. It's not the director's fault. He spent all the money he had, Jean-Pierre Gorin, and he couldn't get financial backing. He couldn't get the millions of dollars that he thought it would cost. And he got really sick. He got sick with liver trouble, and he had to give up being a director and go teach down in San Diego. He just about died trying to get a movie made out of that.
But what about you? Huh? What about you?
You watch somebody's behavior and it raises 100,000 questions.
Review of the evidence, when we can prove that they did nothing of the sort, that they basically defrauded the American public.
Make some zeros here, okay? Let's see what 4 trillion looks like. That is,
well, it's
that's 12, that's 12 zeros.
Per American resident.
12 zeros.
So George, your government has lost $14,000 of your money.
And I wanted to ask those questions, and I wanted to know what the answers were.
Unreality, I think, is one of the realest things around.
With Venus, the goddess grasped her violently by the hair and dashed her head upon the ground, then took a great quantity of wheat, barley, millet, poppy seeds, peas, lentils, and beans, mingled all these together in a heap, and commanded the girl to sort them before night.
This new emphasis on nature as the guide goes along with a total reversal in the way life should be lived.
Is not knowing the true nature of reality. The only cause of suffering is not knowing the true nature of reality. Vedanta says the true nature of reality is Brahman. Brahman is a word like any other, and if you ask a Vedantist to describe it, he can't. He says he cannot describe what Brahman is except to call it that.
Certainly this stage of recognizing these powers is so important. The conscious ones you have, the unseen ones are the ones you haven't. There's ways, and depending upon what kind, and you may, not that you have to do it all, but depending on what kind of lost or hidden or denied or unclaimed. Powers that are there. And in creating a new kind of human being who can thrive in a new world.
Media culture was devastating the American spirit, just as industry devastated nature.
Can you hear me?
And so I'd follow people to try and find out. Most important rule was that even if I found out where somebody worked or where they lived, then you'd never follow the same person twice.
In your allowance, I'd weigh a whole theatre of others.
Yeah. Make you ready.
Allow my lord. Will the king hear this piece of work?
And the queen too. And that peasant.
Bid the players make haste! Will you too help to hasten them?
What ho, Horatio?
Here, sweet lord, at your service.
Horatio? Thou art e'en as just a man as e'er my conversation coped with all.
Oh, my dear lord.
They do not think I flatter.
For what advancement may I hope from thee, that no revenue hast but thy good spirits to feed and clothe thee?
Why should the poor be flattered? Dost thou hear?
Since my dear soul was mistress of her choice and could of men distinguish, her election hath sealed thee for herself.
For thou hast been as one in suffering all that suffers nothing.
A man that fortunes, buffets, and rewards has tamed with equal thanks.
And blessed are those whose blood and judgment are so well commeddled that they are not a pipe for fortune's fingers to sound what stop she please. Give me that man that is not passion's slave, and I will wear him in my heart's core. Aye, in my heart of heart. As I do thee. Something too much of this.
There is a play tonight before the king. One scene of it comes near the circumstance which I have told thee of my father's death. I prithee, when thou seest that act afoot, even with the very comment of thy soul, observe my uncle.
If his occulted guilt is not itself unkennel in one speech, it is a damned ghost that we have seen, and my imaginations are as foul as Vulcan's stippy.
Oh, my lord. If a steel or whilst this play is playing and scape detecting, I will pay the theft.
Now come into the play. I must be idle. Get your place.
Remarkable progress over the last few decades. Cosmologists are gradually piecing together the epic tale of our cosmic history.
Right now, we're featuring our exciting garlic creations. Get into a Panda Express and experience them for yourself.
Comcast Digital Cable has hundreds of channels of the most requested programming with about 30 local channels and includes on-demand thousands of shows and movies to watch whenever you want. Comcast is the leader in high-definition television offering both local and national HD channels not available on satellite. So if you're into sports, movies, or just amazing clarity, then Comcast Digital Cable is the only way to go. And if you don't have time to watch your shows while they're being aired, then record them with Comcast DVR. Pause live TV, watch one show while recording another. The DVR is inside the cable box, so no extra equipment is necessary. With Comcast High-Speed Internet, you'll get blazing fast connections and 100% pure broadband features such as click-and-play videos and web-based email. They've recently upgraded the upstream and downstream speeds for all of their customers at no extra cost. Now you can enjoy even quicker uploads and downloads of photo, video, and music files. Call 1-800-COMCAST, 1-800-COMCAST, or go to Comcast.net. Cable and Internet, Comcast.net.
6:58 on 960 The Quake. We'll check national headlines from CNN at the top of the hour, and then keeping it real with Will and Willie from Hotel Vitale in San Francisco. It's Will Durst and Willie Brown and Paul Wells. Happy Monday, gentlemen.
Good morning, John. How you doing, buddy?
Fantastic. And yourself?
John, Willie Brown. How are you?
We're great. What's happening on Keeping It Real with Will and Willie today?
President Bush, he's going to speak at 5. We all know that, about the thousands of troops on the border. And exactly what is his plan going to be when it comes to immigrants? We'll find
out. And citizenship, we'll find out today. Mm-hmm.
Big Ann Schultz joins us.
Yeah, and he's clearly going to be talking about what's happening at the national level involving those telephone companies that seem to be spreading your information around, John.
Yeah, never stops, does it? Well,
how were they influenced to do this? There is this shadowy entity that is running these covert programs. I'm glad you're having a Catherine Austin Fitz on next, because she and I have spoken at great length about how this shadowy secret government transnational group works. But they have corrupted the government structures, and they have corrupted the Fourth Estate. And basically, people think we live in a democracy. We really live, I believe, in a kleptocracy, and the democracy part of what we live in is dying very slowly, and we need to resuscitate it.
You're absolutely right, Stephen. We have this.
I'm sorry, but I didn't hear anything.
New metaphysics. Rolling along. Quoting some movie. It's all you. No quorum needed. Great work at work. Amazing credit fraud coming home to roost right about now. Hate to see that market drop like a rock. $2 trillion is gonna evaporate. Unless calling all those media workers, and I don't mean that silly entertainment bullshit. You know who you are. Listen to this show, you must be partly there at the very least. Dewline, DEFCON 1, get on it. Use your private intel. Not a rehearsal. That throbbing heart attack in the Electronic Financial Sky. It's stroke time. Left side paralysis. Temporal lobes going apeshit. Throwing AI, VR, and regular fake reality into some kind of cardiac arrest. Don't listen to any of the scientists. Really smart guys who are working with 1 over infinity. More all the time. Science is about the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Check a pocket of it out sometime and remind yourself. Saw the best minds of the generation destroyed by empiricism. And those are the honest scientists, not the sellouts. Corporate academic syndrome. It's all just a bad S&M film. Not only are the whips fake, not only. Bear markets, that's when S&M comes out. Call it the S&M decade. I didn't even bother criticizing religion. Something I know nothing about. Being Jewish and all. I got a free pass on that fucker. Thank the fucking Christ. One of the original media artists. Him and his producer, Judas. Pulled off a superstar over there. Took the most godless race on earth, Whitey. Sold him a beat quality production. Not even fit for a drive-in. Well, it's like all the rest of the media out there. Thank God for digital. Let a man come in the back door. The DV and shit. Big crash time. Sell all the stocks. Go to cash. Sell all stocks. Sell all stocks. Right about now. Unless, very hard to predict these days. Metaphysics being what it is and all. That's what I call entertainment, the real kind.
The American people and you know, the American opportunity. And I think seeing America go the way it's going is not what they want at all. Now, I think there's a lot of European investment that has traditionally, been at odds with sort of American political interest, you know, or local self-sufficiency.
But, you know, I don't want you to rule out globalists, because I do believe that they have a bigger plan for some kind of global government.
The most important law. That was the one that I broke first. The most important rule was that even if I found out where somebody worked or where they lived, then you would never follow the same person twice. That was the most important rule. That was the one that I broke first.
Had to be just a few minutes in a person's life. That was the original idea. And then after we were already in, not pre-production, but pre-production, and I'd gotten some feedback on the script. And just rewriting the piece, I thought, well, I think if we're just looking at a few minutes of a person's life, why not look at it in real time? And the pieces are not written, not all of them anyway. They're not structured so much like it's, you know, introduction, development, and conclusion. Some of them sort of slip and slide, and some of them you're more clear about what's going on. Others, you don't quite know what's going on. So I thought, why not play them out in one shot? And also, I was a little concerned. My idea was that because they were short, I really had to try to get things going in those 10, 12 minutes. You know, they had to be emotional, they had to be fun, they had to be interesting, especially if I wasn't going to wrap them up. So I worked hard for them all to have what I considered emotional endings. And then I thought it's probably better, especially in the case of the lead, of the lady in each case, if we do it in one shot so they can drive it. You know, and we don't have to do the, now let's go to the door, now let's sit here, now let's cover when you cry, now let's cover this part which is just before you cry. I mean, it's just so insane. I thought, well, you know, why not? That way the actors can, you know, they'll know what they're put, like a night of theater. They know the curves in the road, and they know when they get there.
Well, let's see, why don't you tell us a little bit about your experiences in this kind of work doing? I noticed that
I'm doing it right now.
You're doing it now, right?
I'm doing it part-time, mm-hmm. You know, like 5 hours a week, Friday nights and Saturdays for a guy in Brookline,
mm-hmm.
A guy who has a family-owned, successful eyeglass business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that would be focal point opticians, right? Mm-hmm. So you're working about 5 hours a week there?
It's a small stuff.
Yeah.
Small, it's like wall-to-wall glasses, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And doing some cleaning. And he wanted a contractor that could frame something downstairs because they had a mouse problem down there.
Mm-hmm.
And getting that, you know, so I made some calls, you know. I sort of take that administrative duty,
mm-hmm.
as it is,
mm-hmm.
to work to manage those projects.
So that has been your experience in that sort of line of work. You say you also do some light carpentry and things like that. This is sort of a combination of custodian maintenance,
mm-hmm.
sort of, wouldn't you say so, Jim?
A bit, yeah.
I mean, there's a little bit of maintenance just because we don't have a lot of support from the town.
Mm-hmm. Usually just little things like fixing a door hinge or tightening a lock or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, adjusting a toilet kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, my knowledge goes as deep as to framing the window.
Yeah.
Framing the
doing
the mitering and beveling,
mm-hmm.
and framing the extension jams, you know, the two side pieces in the window, so they just kind of fit in, you know, and you can get your sill and cabin.
Did you just have some training to do that, or start?
That happened last year. I learned as much in 2 weeks by watching somebody.
Mm-hmm.
These guys would drive into Brookline from Western Mass,
mm-hmm.
And one of the guys started his own company about 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so I learned quite a bit from him.
Mm-hmm.
And, he could explain carpentry to a stick. This guy was so good. He could teach carpentry to a stick.
Well, I'm sure that you have more ability than a stick, so.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. So, I was wondering if you could think of the best custodian you've ever known and sort of tell me what you thought would make him good or her. What would make a custodian a good custodian?
A combination of having a nice attitude towards customers.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I give that, you know, I'd say that's like the word
mm-hmm.
when it comes to getting the job done and satisfying people.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that skill from a guy when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
When I was at the Driscoll School in Brookline, the
mm-hmm.
Michael Driscoll School.
Mm-hmm.
Walter Jackson,
mm-hmm.
the custodian. He's probably retired now,
mm-hmm.
but... aside from the time he threatened me that he was going to cut my lock off my bike if I had left it out for another vacation, he was a nice guy. He, you know, would open doors for people when
mm-hmm.
he needed to even know it was after hours.
Mm-hmm.
And he generally had a good attitude and didn't have any issue with anger or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Which seemed some people to do in the business,
right.
You know.
Right.
Or they tend to give sort of a nasty affect, you know, when it comes to helping people
mm-hmm.
out, you know, so I'm the polar opposite of that.
Bring you back around the way it's all in. If people could bring you back to reality and what you used to get
down. I mean, have certain targets that you would have to reach on a weekly basis. If you reach that target, anything above that target, you get 5% commission on it. In real numbers, we're looking for our associates to sell about $4,800 a week. And anything above the $4,800, you get 5% commission on top of that.
Tonight, we're going to look over their shoulders as they peer deep into our cosmic past.
Bank sent you a statement and said, you know, we have $14,000 of undocumentable adjustments in your bank account, and we just want you to write it off.
That would leave me with a debit of about $15,000 in that case.
Well, let me tell you my chief concern, and I can go back and tell you the different stories on how I
okay.
came to believe this, but my chief concern is the way that you could be missing $2.3 trillion in a year when we only paid $1.6 trillion in taxes. Is if you engage in significant securities fraud.
All right, tell me why.
Okay, let's say I have $100 million in treasury, in the U.S. Treasury, or at HUD, or Department of Defense.
In cash, right?
In cash. I pull it out, and with that cash, I then buy $100 million of U.S. Treasury. So the money goes back into the U.S. Treasury.
So that's that, but that's a balance, right? That's balance.
Right. I now have $100 million of Treasury bills, which I can sell around the world, because, right, they're top-rated securities,
I'm
right?
with you.
Okay, so I end up not with $2.3 trillion in cash, but $2.3 trillion of securities, which are off the books. Because obviously if we put them on the books, then somebody would say, hey, wait a minute, how come the liabilities went up so
mm-hmm,
much?
Mm-hmm.
And my chief concern with the write-up of the liabilities at the end of 2004 is that, in fact, that's a move to authenticate all of the fraudulently issued securities.
All over the place.
Well, that's a, you know, here's the problem, George. Since we can't trust their books, The numbers I'm giving you are from the official U.S. Treasury accounts in these years, but they're not books that are audited and trustworthy.
It's got to be two, three, four, who knows how many times worse than that.
Right, and the one thing I can tell you as somebody who served as an Assistant Secretary of Housing and then as the Senior Financial Advisor to a government agency, that this is not a matter of incompetence. I can't tell you how many competent, able people I met working in government.
And are they aware of this?
Well, I think what they're aware of, let me give you an example. In the summer of 2000, I went to meet with the Chief of Staff to the Chairman of the Appropriations Subcommittee for the Department of Housing and Urban Development for Bond.
Okay.
And my company's owed money by HUD, and I'm in litigation with HUD, so I was just trying to get my company collected because I have a lot of people who deserve to be paid.
Sure.
So I went in to see them, and they said, what do you think is going on at HUD? And I was trying to be discreet, and I said, I don't know, what do you think is going on at HUD? And they looked me dead in the eye, George, and said, HUD is being run as a criminal enterprise. And it took me about 12 years to come to that conclusion, but I said to them, I don't disagree. Now, if you understand what I understand, then you know that HUD is run by J.P. Morgan Chase, the Department of Justice, the U.S. Treasury, at the time Lockheed Martin was paid about $150 million plus a year to run all of HUD's systems and accounts, and that there's no way HUD can be run as a criminal enterprise unless that group of contractors and banks
were part of it.
Are running it that way. I mean, you can't have $4 trillion. The depository for the U.S. government is the New York Fed. But the New York Fed runs, and the New York Fed runs the Exchange Stabilization Fund, which is the big legally authorized slush fund for the government, which I believe, in combination with the 47 and 49 Act, allow essentially the black budget to source and use huge amounts of financial operations. Not just to finance the black budget, but to use black budget funds to manipulate the stock, bond, gold, and other financial markets, particularly and including the housing bubble, which is something I'd love to touch on because it touches every listener you have.
In how many different agencies have their hand in the cookie jar? Black ops or otherwise?
Well, I think our world is a little bit... Have you ever been to Disney World, George?
I have not yet been to Disney World.
But I've seen... I had a friend who took the course. You know, they have a management course where you go underneath the ground and you see how... You know, you have this lovely world above ground that's totally orchestrated, and then you have this whole world below ground that's sort of manipulating and organizing it. And I think our world is very much like that. You have, you know, you have the overt world, and then you have the covert world. And the covert world is everywhere. I mean, it's in every neighborhood. I always tell people, if you want to stop the black budget, cut off their cash flow in your neighborhood, because the black budget finances one neighborhood at a time.
What is this? I'm going to go to a break, and then we're going to come back. But
okay.
I want you to think about this question. What is it that this covert group with this budget wants to do? I mean, you know, once you get to $2.3 or $4 trillion, how much more do you need? There's got to be a bigger picture here, Catherine. They're up to something, and I want to get your take on that. Lots more to talk about. We'll come right back on Coast to Coast. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie with our guest, Catherine Austin Fitz. Catherine, before we get into some of these covert budgets, you were talking about the chronology of how you believe this all started, and we got so excited we got to sidetrack a little bit. Why don't you pick that up from years gone back?
We passed a series of laws with the National Security Act and the CIA Act that permitted, it created a loophole that let the intelligence agencies, using the securities and financial mechanism of the Treasury, basically draw huge amounts of money in and out of the financial markets with essentially zero transparency and accountability. So, you know, we kind of created the siphon. And then in 1980, we added a series of executive orders. One was an executive order that put George H.W. Bush in charge of the National Security Council and enforcement and intelligence infrastructure. So we had the former head of the CIA basically running that mechanism and understanding how to manipulate it. And then in addition, we implemented an executive order that said private corporations could handle through government contract highly sensitive national security operations. And so we create, you know, so here we have a non-transparent way to basically siphon a near infinite amount of money to big corporations with no accountability and transparency. And then on top of it, we pass what, thanks to Gary Webb, we know about is, well, we created a memorandum of between the Department of Justice and the CIA, thanks to Stanley Sporkin and Casey at CIA, that said basically, you know, if the CIA knows of drug dealing by its operations, including its contractors, it doesn't have to report it. And that kind of, you know, that the combination of those legal and executive orders infrastructures, George, created a mechanism that was really a license to steal. And we watched Iran-Contra kind of evolve, and the financial fraud in Iran-Contra that I then cleaned up, both at HUD and I was on the cleanup team for BCCI.
Oh my, that was a mess.
Literally explode.
That was a disaster.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, Harry Albright, who was the trustee appointed by Morgenthau, or that Morgenthau arranged through the courts, had asked me to go on the board of First American, which was the Clark Clifford, you know, sort of Wonder Woman husband bank in Washington,
that's right.
Part of BCCI. And so Harry asked me if I would do it, and he sent out, you know, like a Brinks truck with thousands of pages of documents. I was living out in McLean, and I got, you know, they filled up my living room, and I spent several days just reading it. And when it was over, I just put, you know, after cleaning up Iran-Contra fraud, I thought I'd seen it all at HUD. But after I read those documents, George, what I realized is, you know, this could only have happened if it was approved at the highest levels.
I think that's innately the point to the film, is that you are eavesdropping in on a conversation. And it's a conversation that you don't know who person A and person B are and who they are to each other. And so he gives you as little as possible, which is, I think, the brilliance to the material, because that little bit of information you can draw quite a lot from, given the context of the situation. And in a very short period of time.
Art's different than entertainment, because entertainment is meant to conform to your expectations, to zone you out, to take your mind off of problems, not to make you more conscious or more aware.
The Indians, indeed, in their folklore, there's power there. And often where there's power, you find standing stones. Even on Mount Tam, if you have been up a little further than the government lets you go, you can find that there are the standing stones of Mount Tamalpais as well. And many places have those standing stones, because what's there is the ancients discovered these power spots. They didn't necessarily know about ley lines, they didn't necessarily know about meridians and an acupuncture sense, although they did in the Far East. But they did know, they felt something here. There's power here. I can... There's a vortex of energy.
Of things or make you more... Like, say, when you watch a film, you're not supposed to think about how it's edited. To do so would ruin the experience of getting lost in it. Whereas an artist films, they always want to make you conscious of such things in order to make you conscious that this film is a construction. And then you are forced to position yourself relative to that. And that's why I'm afraid of the loss of art as a separate entity from the mass media and the entertainment industry. That's what frightens me.
Some were sensitive to feel it. Others had to trust that it was there. Some of those that were sensitive could discern the energy and its different patterns, and therefore depicted that, gave the energy a signature, depicted that energy in the stones that they stood around it. Therefore, such as perhaps the most famous place of standing stones, that of Stonehenge. There's a massive vortex of energy there. And when it was first discovered that sensitives could feel it, and certain of those sensitives could tell this is the size of the vortex, and therefore laid at its circumference certain stones to depict here's where the energy comes, here's its vortex. And then certain crossbeams or keystones were laid to indicate certain wobbles in that energy. because it didn't move just steady in a vortex. It would move in a vortex and then boom, it'd have a wobble and a little shift of that energy. And therefore the keystones that lay across the top were those that designated the wobble and the frequency of that wobble and the size by some symbolic meaning. And then there were also spurs of energy. You think of the sun and how it is a ball of energy. It's not just sitting there radiating equally in all directions. It has those electrical storms, those sunspots, those magnetic spots, etc. Huge leaps of energy. But those are spurs of energy. And the vortexes that are of the Earth similarly have spurs of energy. Those are often represented by smaller stones that are stood in certain particular positions to indicate. And therefore, the mystics that could sense it, the ancients that could tell, signature the power spot with stones. Avebury, another very powerful spot in England, indeed, most definitely so. And we would suggest even beyond that, those that have those popular names that are visited by tourists, in many fields, in many meadows, in the middle of many woods and forested areas upon farms, there are standing stones, places of standing stones. Not as elaborate, but because the sensitive who found this spot couldn't discern it all. Maybe they could only tell it's this big, it's about 2 feet across, so they stood certain stones to indicate that. And they couldn't feel any wobble, so there's no cross stones, there's no keystones.